welcome back to the American Horror Story Hotel Recap Show here on Variety Radio Online. As always, my name is Brancy, and I am joined by my two hosts tonight. Christina, how are you doing tonight, Christina?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty swell. Jess, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're
doing good.
Yeah.
Back from the land of the hippies.
Yes, I heard. How was that?
It was long and tiring.
Yes, I'm sure. But everybody listening, I bet you're wondering what's going on. Well, let me tell you, Facebook sucks. That's what's going on. Because we posted in our little Variety Radio Online group trying to form together this lovely recap, and apparently Jess couldn't see any of it.
Oh, yeah, that was a catastrophe.
Yeah, because I put it out there seeing who all wanted to jump in, because I figured that would be the best way to get everybody's attention. But apparently Facebook doesn't like people.
Yeah, Facebook
and just completely didn't let anybody see that. So,
no.
But we've got
specifically me. But it did happen to Gina too at one point in time. But
yeah, I was about to say I did hear it's happened to other people at points.
Yeah, so it just randomly decides when it wants us to see each other and when it doesn't. Apparently, I've been missing out on notifications for the past year, so that shows you how out of the loop I am.
That's crazy. Well, I just assumed that nobody else wanted to do it because there had been some other people who talked like they might do it, and they saw the post and said nothing. So I was like, okay, solo train. But now that we know what's up, we're finally back, and we're going to talk about not this past week's episode, but the week before that, Devil's Night, which I thought was...
Oh, my God. That was an amazing episode. I had so much fun with that, especially right before Halloween. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I really dug the mood of the episode. It finally felt like American Horror Story because it's been a little while since we felt the feeling that we got with, like, Murder House and Asylum and everything. But the dinner party in particular was my, of course, the favorite of the whole episode.
Mm-hmm. So we started off, though, with Alex bringing Holden home. So I remember last year when we were doing Freaks, there were a couple of logic fails that we found in the storyline. And
right.
I saw a couple of them over the past couple episodes, but the number one was, and maybe I just remember it incorrectly, how the hell did she just walk out of that hotel with Holden?
You got a point there. I didn't think about it, like, in depth, which I guess is what they were hoping you wouldn't do. But, yeah, I didn't consider that, but you're right. I don't know how they just waltzed out.
Yeah, just walked out. Like, oh, okay, you come home with me. Also, what the hell? She didn't question the fact that he didn't age or anything. Nothing. I'm just going to take this kid back with me, and this is my son who's been missing for 5 years, and he's still only 4 years old.
Right, he looks exactly the same.
Right. Also, didn't bother to call your husband to let him know that you found your kid.
Oh, my God, really, though? She did not say anything to him. And I mean, like, I know
nothing.
Y'all have problems, but come on.
Right? Like, oh, sorry, I found your long-lost kid in the hotel that you happen to be staying at. By the way, did you not see him?
Right, that's even worse that he's staying
right?
there, too. To me, it was crazy because once she got him home, it's like she really just didn't even care that she had another kid, though, either.
That's so
yeah.
sad.
Like, Scarlett, who? I have Holden back now. Who cares?
So she brings them home, and she just leaves them in the living room. I'm going to get you some juice, and takes his temperature, and the fact that, you know, she's a doctor and he's 75.5 degrees doesn't, you know, concern her or anything. No. First thing I would have done would have been taking the kids to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Well, after I called my husband and my daughter.
Seriously.
And, yeah. Just bring her, and where was Scarlett? Was she at school? Like, what is the deal here? What's going on with this? Anyway. Anyway, I just found it very amusing. So she brings him home, and of course, oh yeah, by the way, we have a puppy. And of course, the dog doesn't like Holden.
Oh,
and she goes to get him juice, and the dog is suspiciously quiet. And she walks back in, and you see that, you know, that scene where she just drops the glass, of course. So he's eating the dog. And her first reaction is, oh my God, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Rest in peace to that dog.
Her full puppy.
So then, so what happens after that? Then we cut to, she brings him back.
Yeah.
So now his second logic fail. So I need to bring him back. Why would you do that? Any idea?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of things that's going on with Alex.
She's just a strange character in this season. I think
she is.
I'm finding it very hard to relate to Alex.
Yes, I agree.
I don't
with
know
that.
How you. Okay.
No, I agree with
you,
that because I had very high hopes for Chloe Savini's character, but
I did too. But she's sort of not doing it for me. The character.
Yeah.
Isn't doing it for me.
Yeah. No, I love the actress, but the character is very hard to relate to this year. Or at least this season. And so she brings him back, and she just waltzes right back into the hotel, and Liz sees her and gives her a disapproving look and doesn't say anything to her. And Holden goes up, and I guess he goes to the pool and gets in his coffin, and she's just standing there watching him do this. And then, of course, Lady Gaga's character, who I just learned her name was Elizabeth, because they never actually say her name.
Right. They've just been saying the Countess.
Yes, the Countess. So the Countess is, of course, creepily right behind her, saying, I know you have a bunch of questions. I have to say, since I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys for the first three episodes, I really am liking Lady Gaga in this series.
Right.
I don't know about how you guys feel, but the first two or three episodes, somebody made a comment to me, and I just had to keep laughing because it was so true that the first time I was watching these episodes, they had said that this was the best music video she had ever made. And it really just felt like an extended music video because of all the fashion and the music and, you know, just this bizarre kind of flow of the season. And it seems to be getting into its groove now. Because at first I was like, I don't know. It's awesome. I love the architecture of the building. I love the time period that the hotel is set in and all of that and how creepy everything is. But it took a while for the flow of the show to get back to where it was.
I agree with that. I think this is the first episode that we've kind of met the same pace that we've had in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about Lady Gaga's performance so far?
I love her.
Yes.
She's really very good.
The perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly can't. I mean, everybody was at the beginning, everybody was lamenting that Jessica Lange's character wasn't in this season, but I don't think there was a spot for her in this season.
Mm-hmm. I think that Lady Gaga is doing really well. I know I've seen online some people are still critical, but I really don't think that she has done bad at all. I think she's done very well, considering this is her first time with all these people, and these people have had years to get to know each other in different roles now.
Yeah. Well, I think it also is a testament to her previous theater experience. I mean, she hasn't done anything publicly, but she was an actress before she was a musician. So it's nice to see her kind of as a triple threat, you know?
Right.
I agree.
And I love how they've incorporated all of the fashion and the avant-garde fashion that she is a part of into the show by bringing the fashion designer in and having her in these crazy, beautiful outfits. But I really love the way that they incorporated that. So, looking forward to seeing more. So, I'm sorry. I totally derailed the whole conversation.
No, it's fine.
Where do you guys want to go from here? So the next thing that happens is the cop. Oh, gosh, and his name just flew right out of my head.
John Lowe.
John, right. Mm-hmm. So John saddles up to the bar, and Liv's character is fantastic, and I can't wait to talk about it in more detail in our next episode.
Oh my God, me too.
But yeah, so Liv is amazing, and I love the fact that that this character is so different than his character in Freaks. Totally different.
Right.
I think last season in Freaks, I was really creeped out by the actor's character. And this season, I'm just in love with Liv. I think she's great.
Yeah, I really love the character. One of my favorites, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. And he does it amazing. I mean, he is rocking those outfits, I have to say.
I know. I keep making comments to Christina. I was like, it's really not fair that Dennis O'Hare could pull off that dress in ways I never could. That's not right. It's just not fair.
That's very true. Yes, with the turbans and even with the bald head. Like, he's not a very feminine woman, and not very attractive woman when I first saw the character. But as the season goes on, I'm finding that I really like her style. I love Liz's style. I love her attitude. I love her. I just love the character. So John sidles up to the bar, and Liz, in her, you know, infinite sarcasm, is taunting him, saying, you know, do you just want a ginger ale and all this stuff? And in comes, we skipped the first part. We skipped the entrance scene where Richie Ramirez checks into the hotel.
Oh, yes.
And
we
see our first serial killer check into the hotel. Mm-hmm. And at first I mean, I know some serial killers, but I wasn't aware of Richie Ramirez, or I didn't recognize him by name. I realized it after a little bit more into the episode.
Right.
That, you know, he was, what was he, the Night Stalker?
The Night Stalker, yeah. I think he was the only one that I didn't immediately recognize.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized the rest
of
them.
Like, who is this?
Yeah.
Right. But Anthony, I can't even pronounce his last name. Ruvivar. I think
your guess is as good as mine.
I apologize, Anthony, if I screwed up your name. But he was great. He was a cool cat. And love the fact that, you know, he checks in and Liz, of course, brings him up to the room, dangles the key, and says, you know, the master's left some treats on your pillow. And then she dangles the key, and he's like, I don't need the key. And he climbs up, like, what, four stories into the window and proceeds to massacre these people.
Just kicking it off right.
All right. So that brings us to the next serial killer that we see. And I recognize the character immediately. They did a great job with Lily Rabe's makeup. She
definitely
went from being gorgeous to looking frighteningly like Eileen Wuornos.
Yes.
She looked exactly like her. It really freaked me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember watching the movie Monster from
yes.
with Charlize Theron, who mm-hmm. did the character, and it was so similar, the mannerisms, and because that's how she really behaved.
Right.
Both of them did their character research, and she just nailed it. She looked fantastic. And so she settles up at the bar, and John basically thinks that she's wearing a Halloween costume, and he thinks that basically throughout the whole episode that they're all just doing this elaborate Halloween gig. And
yeah.
Because, I mean, who would think that, you know, these people who are all dead and all serial killers would just show up?
Yeah, exactly.
So you want to take it from there, Brandy?
Well, I did actually, I was considering this, and the more I think about it, the more it doesn't make 100% sense to me, so I'm going to run it by you guys because I'm not sure if my logic is wrong here, but if we're going off of what we learned in season one, Murder House, they basically said that ghosts can't leave the place that they died unless it's Halloween, right?
Right. Well, yes, that's true. However, there's another... Yes, that is true. I don't know if they're going to tie that in, definitely.
Yeah,
with
well, that's why I was confused. Because I was like, well, technically it's Devil's Night, and Devil's Night is not the same as Halloween.
True.
So,
but they do have a standing invitation.
That.
Yeah. They do have a standing invitation. So I don't know. Because I think that there's a different rule. I think it's within the same universe, but I think there are different rules for different things. That might have just been the Murder House as well, in regards
well, that, yeah,
to
that's
that
why
particular
I was wondering,
location.
Because I was running off the assumption that it was going to be Murder House's rules, but now, like, after I watched it, it didn't occur to me while I was watching it, but the more I thought about it, I was wondering, I was like, wait, Devil's Night is not Halloween, so we must have different rules here.
Mm-hmm. I think if maybe they had an invitation, then maybe they could. I don't know. But what does seem to follow through, and I don't know if you guys caught it, because I was trying to explain this to my roommate, Jamie, that and other people at my lunch table who don't watch American Horror Story, that it seems as though the Murder House rules, the rules for dead people that were set in the first season seem to be following true to this episode, to this season, in regards to, did you notice Sally never actually leaves the hotel?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody, and I haven't seen the washing woman, the laundress, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, Mrs. Evers.
Mrs. Evers, yes.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't leave the hotel. Evan's character, March, doesn't leave the hotel. As far as we know, he could be the Bible thumper that we're talking about. I think he is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But or there might be another person out there that they haven't caught yet. But that's kind of been on the back burner since the first. I thought that was going to be the driving force for this episode, I mean for the
mm-hmm.
season. Was that Bible thumping serial killer, basically the another version of the Seven, you know, the guy Kevin Spacey's
right.
character in Seven. But I do think that whoever dies in the hotel stays in the hotel.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with visiting, but it does seem to follow true that whoever dies in that hotel, if they come back as a ghost, they're stuck in that hotel because we've never seen them leave.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's what I assumed, that it was going to be similar to Murder House in that aspect, because at first I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because of Matt Bomer's character, but then I remembered technically he's not a ghost, he's whatever this vampire disease thing is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have that. And then he takes her back up to the room. I love the line where Liz of all people, says to John, I don't know if you realize this, but that is an ugly woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't think you realize this, but I'm too drunk to care. So he takes her back up to the room, and she basically does what she did with everybody else that she did, you know, the serial killer Eileen did, and she tries to kill him. He subdues her, chains her to the bathroom sink, and tries to figure out who she is. And take it from there, Brancy.
Well, I'm not... Is this when we lead into the actual dinner party bit?
I think
yeah.
so.
Okay, because it's been a minute since I watched the actual episode, but the dinner party, man, that was my favorite part. When you walk in and you see all these people just walking around and you slowly start to figure out who everybody is, it's just crazy.
Yes. Love John Carroll Lynch. I love John Carroll Lynch and everything that he does. He creeped me out in Freak. To see him, he looks so much like John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, he really did.
He had the clown makeup on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just really very, he just can't get away from clowns.
Apparently not.
No, but it was so shocking to see him in this. After seeing him in Freaks and then seeing him in Walking Dead, that was weird to see
right.
him in Walking Dead last week. And then
yeah.
to see him back playing a serial killer. So, one, he can't get away from clowns. Two, he can't get away from serial killing clowns. Jeffrey Dahmer's character was very interesting.
That guy
and
looks
then
exactly like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes, he does. And the mannerisms were amazing. And then it's funny that they mentioned the Zodiac Killer, or they have the Zodiac Killer there. And, of course,
right.
he's got a mask on him. But they never caught the Zodiac Killer, and he mentions that. So I guess they're just assuming for a plot device that the Zodiac Killer is dead and that he would be invited.
Right.
But they never really go into it. He's just there. It's like the furniture. He's just like another character to have.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was, because I thought it was interesting. I don't know why he was necessarily at the party like that, but I liked the little Zodiac sign on the note that they had, like the little guest book, I think is what it was, where he signs like that. I liked that part,
yeah.
the attention to that.
And so during the course of the dinner, they're talking about, you know, being serial killers and how they were, you know, that's part of in the dinner, they actually do mention how only the serial killers who checked in prior to dying they actually checked in at that hotel and stayed at that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're back at Devil's Night. It's because that's how they're connected to the hotel, is that they've all been to that hotel before their death.
Yeah, and I did see that further explained on, like, a video that they released on the Facebook page. It was on their YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched that, it explained it further. So I was glad that they put that up there.
Yes. And they do mention their stories about how they came to No March and how they came to stay at the Hotel Cortez, and and that's why they're back every year. And you mentioned that, did you catch the reference to Charles Manson?
Yes, I did.
In the beginning when he was like, oh, I was hoping to see Charlie, blah, 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 and he said, oh, no, he's still doing life, blah, blah, blah. So So that would have been an interesting addition. Charles Manson scares the shit out of me, so.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's okay to deal with these serial killers because we know they're not around anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they are terrifying characters.
Yeah.
And now, there was, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Mrs. Evers serial killer at the dinner? The one who killed the boys, or no?
I don't think he was. I think it was just Zodiac, John Wayne Gacy, Eileen Wuornos, The Night Stalker, Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah. I think was that it? I think so. And then James Martin, of course.
So now here's another question. Why did March invite John to the serial killer dinner? Isn't that a foreshadowing? Do we want to make an assumption that John is going to be a serial killer? Is he going to snap? Is he?
That's what I was wondering about.
Is he subconsciously the Bible thumper?
Right. Yeah. I was wondering if that was some kind of like low key hint.
Right. It kind of like tweaked me a little bit. I was like, that's interesting. I mean, he doesn't really know John March, so why would he be invited to that?
Right.
So it just seems interesting. I don't know. I think I might go out on a limb and say I think subconsciously, without his knowledge, he is committing these crimes as the Bible thumper, and it's actually him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because that's the only reason I could see why James March would do that, why he would invite him. And just like little things throughout the episodes that you kind of like, once you think about them, they kind of click into place.
So we're actually almost coming up to the end of our episode. I did want to make mention that during the dinner, Sally picks somebody up outside the hotel. She doesn't leave the vicinity of the hotel. She picks somebody up, brings him upstairs, and they proceed to murder him. And there's a comment that she makes before they start their business, and that is, so this will means you'll leave me alone for the next year. And March says, as always.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think that means?
I'm not sure, and I'm very curious about that. Because we know James killed a lot of people in the hotel, but I'm not sure how those two characters' storylines are going to intersect yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sally also came to the hotel much later than James March, because he was the original owner.
Right,
yeah.
And Iris killed her. So it's not like she was a victim of his. I don't know where that is going, but it's interesting, and I can't wait to find out what the deal is with that. The other thing is, jumping back to the Countess is claiming that she took Holden because John was neglecting him. And I didn't really see any of that happening. You know, he just turned around to take a phone call. I would hardly call that neglect. I don't know what the deal is with that. But she took him. But then she offered Alex the opportunity to become a vampire as well and spend the rest of eternity with Holden. And just that whole weird scene where it's just like, oh, well, you know, you could just join him and you could just be my employee with your undying loyalty. I don't know about that. What do you think?
I'm really not sure. And see, it's hard to talk about because now that I've seen the next episode, I'm trying to, like, put blinders on and not think about what happened there. But I'm not really sure. The Countess seems like she's just turning so many people right now. I don't know how this is all going to pan out for her.
Yeah. It's almost like I was listening to a previous episode. I was listening to an episode with you guys before when you were like, and you're a vampire. And I was like, okay, so everybody's going to be a vampire by the end of the season. And I have to agree, they might be going a little overboard on this one.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Especially when we get to the next episode, which I found hilarious. But I want to talk about that on our next show. Anything else before we go?
I think that's pretty much it that I had for Devil's Night.
Kristen, you were very quiet. I'm sorry if I talked over you.
I think that was all I had for the episode, too.
Okay. All right. So I guess that concludes our episode of Devil's Night, and tune in because we're going to be recording room service right after this.
That's right. So you guys make sure to watch out for that, and if you want to check out all of our previous episodes, you can go to audioboom.com/channel/Variety Radio Online, and you can also check out the home website at thevro.com. So we'll see you in just a minute, actually, if you want to hear our recap of room service. So thank you all for listening. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.